bullying is not simply resolved by dealing directly with the bully, although that's like putting a band-aid on the problem. But at the core, it's really a community mental health problem. Just confronting or laughing at or, you know, bullying back at the bully and overpowering them just makes bigger bullies. You have to deal with the root cause.
All right. The question of dealing with the root cause of bullying and who is responsible for stopping it is something now being addressed by the American Academy of Pediatrics. They're publishing a new policy statement on the pediatrician's role in preventing school violence. It's going to have a section on bullying for the first time ever. It's going to transfer, they hope, the social stigma from the victim to the bully. And here to discuss recommendations, look at how you convince kids bullying is uncool, is Dr. Robert Seggy. He's the chief ambulatory pediatrician at Boston Medical Center and one of the lead authors on the forthcoming policy. Good morning.
Good morning.
So pediatricians are recommending that Americans follow a system to prevent bullying. It was developed in Norway in the 1970s, but it's been used in the U.S. already. Can you tell us how it works in action?
Sure. Dr. Olias in Scandinavia figured out that in addition to bullies and victims, most of the kids in the class are bystanders. And what his program does is it changes the school culture. So the bullies are no longer at the top of the heap, but the victims shunned by everyone else and the other kids being afraid of the bully. But instead, through this program, the kids in the class protect the victim and realize that the bully has a problem. And it's marvelous. It can reduce bullying by about 90%. And it makes the classroom into more of a model of what we like our society to be.
So give me an example. Say that a bully says, you smell, and a kid says, no, I don't. And the bully keeps repeating that statement. What do you mean by a bystander, the kid is a bystander, and how would the kid move to a protector role? A third kid who was just there watching.
Yeah. Well, a third kid could say, leave him alone, or could just befriend the kid who's being picked on. Because what happens without this program is a lot of times the third kid will be afraid of becoming the next victim. So instead of that, the kids will gather around the victim and befriend him.
You know, we talked about this before with someone named Dieter Volke, and he is a psychologist who studies effect of bullying. He's co-author of a study that was published last month, and it said that childhood bullying can lead to teenage psychotic episodes, even delusions and paranoia.
When we talk about bullying, it's really victimization that's repeated, systematic, and an abuse of power. And you've got two types of bullying. The one is direct bullying, like, for example, threats or being hit, beaten, etc. And you've got relational bullying, which are things like being excluded from the group, like, you're not my friend, you can't play with us, etc.
Dr. Seggy, it strikes me that one of the issues here is how many questions that we can address at once as we look to overhaul things like mental health and public health. Obesity has been a huge issue, autism, et cetera, et cetera. You know, why is bullying, in your opinion, something that we should be focusing on right now?
I think in schools where there's bullying, it's hard for the kids to concentrate on their studies. A lot of work shows that kids do better in an environment where bullying isn't allowed. So it's a kind of a pervasive problem for schools. And the second issue is that the person who's most likely to end up in trouble later in life is the bully himself or herself. Because bullies are more likely to drop out of school, less likely to have a job, more likely to go to eventually have a life of crime. So what can happen is if you identify these problems in the third or fourth grade, you can make a better school environment for everyone. And it turns out, particularly benefit the young bully.
Doctor, is this, I'm a little unclear as to how this would actually work. Are you creating a set of incentives for bystanders to socially stand up for the victim and create a sense of stigma for the bully? Or is it an invitation for young people to do something morally that you believe they would do if they're allowed?
Well, what happens is that the school sets up an environment where bullying isn't allowed, and then the classroom teachers lead class discussions where the children come up with rules. And the rules are basically, we protect our own, we don't let kids be picked on, and we get help when we need it. And the kids come up with those rules themselves. They have their own social mores, and that's kind of what drives it. together with better adult supervision. And all of those things together are what changes the atmosphere in schools. And what's remarkable is that schools that do this can reduce bullying by over 90% reproducibly in every country that it's been used.
You are coming from the medical side of this, really taking a look at how pediatricians can deal with it. But how much do pediatricians have an open door to the typical elementary school principal? I mean, is there even a conversation going on?
Usually what we do, of course, is we talk with the children and the parents. So as a pediatrician, what I know is the kids who come to me because they have a stomach ache or because they have suddenly developed attention deficit disorder, I need to look and see what's going on. And I can give parents and the kids really specific advice about how they can handle that child's problem.
Is the significance of this statement that the American Academy is going to make, and we don't know exactly what it is that it essentially sets bullying on the same sort of clinical status as, say, emerging sexuality in child development and other sort of social phenomena?
Sure, because what happens is that we now know that a lot of the reasons why children don't grow up to their full potential begin with this sort of behavioral and social emotional problems in childhood. And pediatricians increasingly are dedicating part of our practice to looking at those factors that we know will improve the lives of the children we care for.
All right, doctor, one very quick question. If you're a parent, suspect your child is being bullied, what's the one question you ask them briefly?
I ask them, what happens at school and do you feel safe at school?
Do you feel safe at school? Great advice. Thank you so much. We were speaking with Dr. Robert Seggy, Chief of Primary Care Pediatrics at the Boston Medical Center.